This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, man, let's talk to a friend of the show. He is Dave Archer. If Dave was not traveling, he would be here enjoying a nice Hey Man Ale. You guys get a chance to listen to him on the Falcons broadcast. And, Dave, great job with Matt Ryan as we just played first and 10. And Matt talking about some of the things that we've been talking about on the show today. But, you know, one of our concerns, and I think it's a concern of the Falcons, how do you contain Saquon Barkley on Monday night?
Yeah, that's a major task, Carl and Mike. There's no question about it. He's averaging 5.2 yards a carry. He's averaging 9.3 yards a reception. He's scored 6 of their 11 offensive touchdowns so far this season. So really it begins and kind of ends with Saquon Barkley. Can you get him stopped? Now, even with all that being said, they're struggling. They're running the ball at only 87 yards per game. So they're having some struggles, even with Saquon Barkley doing what he did, like what he did against Philadelphia two Thursdays ago on that game. He had 220 yards of total offense in that game, 130 on the ground and 99 receiving. So he is their feature guy, and he's going to be tough because Atlanta has struggled tackling. Got to get back to the old, yeah, you got to make those the gang tackling, you got to leverage the tackler, leverage the ball carrier, all that stuff. Well, it's got to come to life. You can't talk about it. You got to make it come to life against Saquon Barkley.
Dave Archer with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And Dave, I heard you asking Matt about the run game. And, you know, we're of the opinion we're doing just enough. But as Matt said, it's more than enough. I mean, are you satisfied with where we are? Because it seemed like in the third quarter, you know, we had those punt, punt, punt. We lost the balance. Some of that had to do also with some of the wide receivers being banged up.
Well, and you make mistakes, Mike. It gets magnified. You get a run game, it goes for -1. Now it's 2nd and 11. You're behind the chains. If you make a penalty, if you have a penalty on a run game or a holding penalty, all of a sudden it's 1st and 20. It's almost been aggravating. The run game's been aggravating so far this year. We should be better at it. This is a game you have to get well in the run game. This is a team surrendering over 120 yards a game on the ground in the Giants. They've given up over 100 yards rushing in 5 of the 6 games they've played. In fact, they've given up 10 runs of 15 yards or more on the season already. So if you're going to run it against a team, certainly the way the Giants look like they're built, this might be the team you run it against. But, you know, that's either, you know, numbers say one thing. Now you got to go out and perform. But to answer your question, Mike, I think you're getting enough out of it because the play-action game is still viable. I mean, Ryan hit a ton of plays in the first two quarters off play-action. That means they're respecting the run. They're stepping to try to take away the run. So you are getting the benefit out of it, but you're not getting that opportunity like you're talking about in games where you'd like to be able to run the ball, eat some clock, and maybe wear them down a little bit, body punching. We'll run the ball to the perimeter against this crowd. This is a bigger group up front, bigger linemen, so you're going to see the toss plays like we've shown in the last few games. So try to get these guys running sideline to sideline, but you have to have some production in it. You haven't gotten it very much this year.
It's Dave Archer, Falcons analyst, joining us here as part of our big story on Dukes and Bell as we get ready for Monday night, guys. When you talk about the injuries that have happened here, which one concerns you the most? Because today it looks like Sanu did not practice. Ridley and Grady were limited. Derek Shelby apparently limited. It sounds like we're going to get them back. Is one of these injuries concerning you more than another?
Well, I think it's concern, you know, obviously wanting to have back. I think Grady Jarrett makes a whole lot of sense when you talk about you as a run defense. Atlanta is not doing a very good job against the run either. We're giving up over 120 yards a game on the ground. Teams are converting at almost 50% on third down, meaning they're in really manageable third down situations when they do have to convert. That means you need to be able to limit teams on first and second down. Grady Jarrett helps you do that. Obviously, Derek Shelby on the field. He's normally a defensive end that's in on first and second down in run-down situations. Bigger body guy on the edge that helps create some problems in the run game as well. So those two guys certainly help you become better defensively almost immediately. And then the Mohamed Sanu thing is concerning, Carl, and the fact that Mohamed does so much stuff for you that you don't even you don't recognize. He makes a lot of the tough catches, extends drives, made the big catch a week ago when Julio was covered by four defenders, believe it or not. You go back and look at the tape. You want to talk about Julio Jones affecting coverage, go back and look at that play. They're playing cover four, which is four across the board. You should have a quadrant of the field if you're a defense back. Jones runs the deep middle post. He takes four defenders with him. And all Muhammad does is run a little shallow cross at about 15 yards. Ryan throws in the ball, and there's nobody home, and he steps in for the end zone. So, Muhammad makes a lot of those plays. Got a great catch right. He's a red zone guy, so I hate him being out of the game as well.
It is Dave Archer, guys, the Idaho Rail Splitter, with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. He and Wes Struham with a call Monday night right here on 92.9 The Game. Dave, we were talking a lot this week about when you put Vic next to Tack, and maybe you get a mismatch on a guard, and certainly a little more effective if Grady's back and maybe with Jack Crawford. Do you like that combination in pass rush situations?
Yeah, it's been useful, no question, Mike, when you get those two guys, speed guys, on the same side of the ball. You know, Vic's got to step up. There's no question. You guys have talked about it throughout the year so far. He's got to find a way. This is a big year for him for a lot of reasons, and most of them have dollar signs on it. If he can't find a way to be more productive on the defensive end, I mean, he's seeing opportunities potentially go away for him. Tack McKinley's been a force. Certainly those two guys getting on the same side of the ball is a weapon, is a technique you can use. But at some point you'd like to line up one on one side, one on the other side, to get after people's passer. And he's got to step up. They need to see him. Now, he's been close and been around the passer, but I think there's got to be some moments where he becomes dominant on the edge, and we just haven't seen it.
We haven't. And hopefully it comes alive on Monday night. It is Dave Archer joining us here, guys, on Dukes and Bell. Arch, how do you put in perspective? You know, we've been talking about it. We've been talking around it. But Matt's been damn good since the Eagles game. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, we can beat around the bush.
Right.
He was not great in the Eagles game. We said we need our quarterback to be better. He's been damn good.
Well, they've done a good job, Carl, for the most part, of providing him an opportunity. And any of these guys that are these stand-up pocket passers are going to need, you know, your offensive line to play at a decent level. I'm not talking about play it off the charts, but play decent. And they've done that in these games where you've been able to let it go. If you give Ryan the 3 seconds or whatever it takes, or 2 seconds when you're running quick game or whatever it is, he's going to cut you apart. He's got weapons all over the field. I think Matt, senses, obviously, when you're in your 11th year, I don't think Matt's thinking about his career being over, but you can see things. You want to get some things done. And he's been an MVP. He's gone to a Super Bowl. He wants to win a championship. More than anything in the world, this guy wants to win a title. And I think that he realizes that there's only so many opportunities that go around. Mike, you remember you followed Marino very closely when you were down in South Florida. And Danny, he got a couple opportunities in the NFC Championship. Got one shot in the Super Bowl. And it's fleeting. Right. Those opportunities are fleeting. So I think he realized he wants to play at the highest possible level to give his team a chance to do that. And obviously, if they're behind the eight ball a little bit, losing early in the season, they got to win this game. I don't like to ever say mess win, but these are games you have to win. Yeah, they got to win this game on Monday night, and Matt's going to be a big reason why.
I mean, again, we don't try to pencil in the W's, but this is the more winnable part of the schedule, Tampa Bay and the Giants. You're right, man. Hey, Arch, by the way, I did the mea culpa on Austin Hooper because last year I didn't think, he was contributing in the red zone. And I thought, 7 games without a touchdown and all the work, and it's been documented, the work he put in, basically calling Matt, hey, you want to have a catch? I mean, the red zone was a thing last year. Now the red zone performance has been amazing, and Hooper's a huge part of it.
Yeah, I think that he's kind of on time, Mike, and I think that we saw him burst on the scene his rookie year, had the touchdown in the Super Bowl, and you thought, wow, we've got a really big-time tight end. And then he's maybe a little bit of a step back or struggled a little bit last year with some of the notoriety and the expectations. Well, he stepped it up this year, and there's no question that I think he's kind of right on time, but I know people saw him perform well his rookie year, and you thought, okay, we've got the next makings of one of the really good tight end. And I think we're starting to see that now. I think that he's matured some, even though he comes from Stanford and it's a cerebral school and all kind of stuff. I think you have to mature a little bit in this league and understand what you can get away with. I think Hoop knows that now, and he certainly – they isolated him a couple times, Mike, on one side of the field. Sark went ahead and said, hey, we're going to let him go one-on-one with corners. And how about that? It's kind of cool to see a tight end that you can count on that's going to be able to defeat corners and safeties one-on-one and put the ball in the end zone.
All right, Arch, you got about 30 seconds left. This comes from the coach at the bar. This is kind of like the Skip Carey question and answer on the old pregame show. Archer,
I love it.
Can you please ask Arch, why are we deferring? We can't put our wounded defense out there first, asks coach.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the double dip at the end of the half. They want to get the ball at the end of the half, score, and then come out to start the second half, start the tempo of the second half, and score. They're thinking about finishing as opposed to how they start. And I get it. I hear what you're saying. But that's the idea. They want to get a double dip, one before the end of the half, and then close, then start the second half with a score to put the other team behind the eight ball.
More questions for Arch next week. Hey, man, have a good weekend. We appreciate you as always. We'll see you Monday night down at Mercedes-Benz, brother.
Sounds great. Have a cold hey, man, for me, if you would.
Right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.